everyone, to another episode of What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. What's Working is the radio show and podcast designed to highlight the workforce, workplace, and marketplace trends shaping the workforce, workplace, and marketplace around you. I look for the guests who can speak to these trends and in the process, teach us something that might make us just a little bit better at whatever it is that we do. Our focus today is going to be something that's really kind of crept into my world recently and something that has risen on my radar is something I need to know a little bit more about, and that is long-term care and the impact of those receiving the care, the financial components of the care, and I think just importantly, those that are around those that need the care. I bet, and let me explain this, I bet I've got, without thinking about it too hard, 6 or 8 friends who are all within about 5 years of my age, whose parents are now in need of more attention due to their increasing age and decreasing health. And it is putting a stress on those that are delivering the care. The children is what I'm talking about here. Those receiving the care certainly need it. But the question comes of what can be done to mitigate this stress? What can be done to somewhat prepare for it? For a long time, this has been referred to as the sandwich generation. Now, in my traditional work, I do study generational differences and work with my clients on understanding these differences and how it impacts their workplace. And the sandwich generation is not a set group like the baby boomers are a set generation and the Generation Xers and millennials are a set generation. The sandwich generation is more accurately described, in my opinion, as a life stage. As once you get to a certain age and if your parents are still alive, you're going to have elder parents in need of time, care, and attention. And here's where the sandwich comes in, young children still dependent upon you. My parents are okay. Let me be clear. My parents are okay. But I do have 4 teenage children. And if they were in a bad way, I would be right in the middle of this sandwich generation. And the point of this show is that I know those who are experiencing it. And my question is, what can we do to mitigate this? Is long-term care something I, in my 50s, need to be considering? And what happens if I don't? I saw some statistic on television the other day that a good portion, I want to say over 50% of parents expect that their children will willfully, willingly take care of the parents once those parents get sick. And I suspect there are many of you out there whose parents expect that of you too. Yet you recognize how busy you are, how strapped you are, how tough your finances are, and the thought of having to take care of your parents just doesn't fit into the paradigm. When we get back, I'm going to have Jay Stubbs. He's a friend of the show. He sells long-term care insurance, but more important than that, he knows the stories. And we're going to get the stories and learn what we can do. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. We'll be back after this break with Jay Stubbs.
I'm Eric Cromwell. The law firm of Cromwell & Associates can help guide your decisions regarding the life you've created with estate planning tools like wills and trusts. We've planned meetings with first-generation business owners and large multi-generational family groups. With locations in Mobile and Fairhope, we can assist you and your family through every stage of life. To learn more, call 251-605-9075 or find Cromwell & Associates on Facebook.
At Spring Hill Toyota, it's just that easy. From our 3-day exchange to free car washes, the benefits of the Spring Hill Advantage make the choice easy to see. We make it easy to own. Every vehicle comes with Toyota Care, plus our no-cost maintenance plan with free tire rotations and oil changes for 4 years. Get peace of mind with free roadside assistance 24/7. And don't forget, it's easy to buy your car 100% online. Visit springhilltoyota.com today. It's just that easy.
What's Working with Cam Marston is brought to you by Stella Artois Beer, now offering the purchase of the Stella Artois Chalice, a beautiful stemmed glass with the Stella logo. The purchase of each Stella Artois Chalice provides 5 years of clean water for someone in one of 13 developing countries around the world. Learn more at stellaartois.com. Stella Artois. Find it wherever fine beer is sold.
cool thing happened back in 64. That's when Keith Air Conditioning opened their doors.
In my family, turn to the experts is more than a tagline. It's a promise. Every Keith technician is an experienced AC professional, and that saves you money. Speaking of money, how about 0% financing for up to 60 months on installations of new Carrier systems? Keith and Carrier, turn to the experts.
Mobile's leading name in comfort since 1964.
License number 83731.
We're back. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. In the studio with me is Jay Stubbs, an old friend, a longtime fan of the show, a longtime supporter of the show. And I brought him in to talk about long-term care insurance because, as I said in the opening segment, I bet without too much effort, I could sit down and name 10 friends of mine who are about my age, whose parents are beginning or who have begun a decline into the final chapters of their life. And I'm watching the caregivers around them struggle to provide the appropriate care. It's extraordinary taxing on the caregivers. And it's when I begin to see this that I wonder, maybe there's something out there product-wise that could have helped them, which made me think of long-term care insurance, which made me get Jay Stubbs into the studio. Jay, welcome back to What's Working.
Thank you, Cam. It's good to be with you here in Deep Fried Studios. Good friend, Johnny. Glad to be here.
Tell me, Jay, your company has gone through some changes. You perhaps have had some title changes. Tell the audience a little bit about your expertise and your current role.
22 years serving as a risk management or risk consultant in the personal lines planning and business lines planning. That's life insurance, that's disability income protection planning, and then, of course, today's topic, long-term care planning. The company is currently called First Protective, and next week we will rebrand to a name called Concourse Financial Group.
Yeah.
The title pretty much stays the same. I'm the director of the Gulf Coast, meaning I am an advisor to the financial advisors who have questions around those areas of risk planning for their clients. So I consult all over the Southeast for planning for the advisor or the agent's clients.
There are a couple of demographic trends that are unique to our times that I think are beginning now, but are not going to be short-lived. They're going to be long-lived, that I think are accelerating the situation that 10 of my friends are in right now with these aging parents. Number one, people are living longer.
Oh, yeah.
And the sciences, the technologies, et cetera, are causing people to live longer. And most of us would immediately respond, that's good. We should want that. However, if the quality of life is not there, we have to ask that question. Second thing, and this is certainly my chapter, is I had children at older ages, meaning I am now in the middle of what's called the sandwich process or stage of life. I have elder parents that are still alive that perhaps need some help from time to time, and I still have children dependent on me too in my 50s. Now, historically, people would have gone through this stage of life much younger. So it's taxing on me. It's taxing on the parents. It's taxing on the kids. And I don't foresee this changing. The people are living longer and people are having children later, putting the children of their parents, my parents and me, in an awkward situation of needing to give them help as well as needing to continue to care for my own children. Thoughts on that?
The first thought on people living longer, gone are the days of being diagnosed with a serious illness, cardiac, cancer, stroke, even diabetes. People are living through those issues and making their way back from the hospital or out of recovery or into remission, and they're going back home. But sometimes that you know, if two generations ago, that was a death sentence. Most of these serious illnesses were a death sentence. Now, medical technology, progressions in healthcare, people are just living a lot longer. But with you living longer, your body is still needing to be cared for. So in our industry, as you live longer, we look at obviously two things. First is mortality. How long am I going to live? And the second, as it relates to this long-term care discussion, is morbidity. How long is my body going to sustain my being able to get up and move and do the daily activities that I need to do to have a long and fruitful life? So people living longer—
I'm going to interrupt you real quick.
Go ahead.
Clarify the difference in mortality and morbidity for me.
So mortality is based off the life insurance life expectancy tables. When you buy a term life insurance product or a universal life or a whole life insurance product, they use life expectancy tables to price that. And those tables are updated. Typically, it's called a CSO table. Those are updated about every 10 years. And the statistical data is how insurance companies price their product. They use mortality rates to help them price it. Obviously, the older you get, the more expensive it becomes to purchase an insurance product against the death. Morbidity is looking at your overall body, your hips, and inclusive of your cognitive, and the morbidity rates for different ages of men and women is also looked at, and that's how they price the long-term care components of the product.
So it sounds as if morbidity is a hands-on test. In other words, if I'm going to look into long-term care insurance for myself, then I'm going to sit down with somebody and they're going to really give me a thorough examination. Is that about right?
Oddly enough, it's not a thorough examination. It's a telephone interview in the long-term care world. They will also ask for what we call a paramedical exam, which would be a urine set specimen, a blood profile, and they'll ask some medical questions and do the blood pressure check and the height and the weight. And they'll also tell them if you use a tobacco product or not. But in most instances, especially in the asset-based long-term care product arena, I'll talk about that in a second, those are telephone interviews with a prescription history check. You're giving them the permission to go look at your prescriptions that you take, and then an MIB, which stands for Medical Information Bureau. They look at those two factors in addition to the questions you answer over the telephone, and that helps them determine where your morbidity risk may be.
Mm-hmm. And what is the, is it determined by a number? What is the result? Is it a scale, a rating? What
yeah, it's a rating. So it's almost like pass fail, but in our world, it's standard or preferred. And then you can get a standard rate in long-term care world. But if you have a little bit of a chink in your medical history or a little ailment that's creating not a decline for long-term care, but you may pay a little bit more money for the risk that you want to mitigate if you are considered to be rated.
Let's step back. I feel like we need to get out of this thing a little bit.
We're getting in the weeds pretty good.
Yeah. We're suddenly in the weeds. What is... How do you define long-term care? How do you define long-term care insurance?
I define long-term care as a product that allows me to mitigate the risk of helping me pay for the cost of needing care to take care of my person, myself, either at home or in a facility.
So that definition of care is wide open.
Wide open. And typically when you are people need to a doctor would have to tell an insurance company, a long-term care facility, my mom, my dad, whomever, they're coming in here because they can't take care of themselves anymore. And that usually is can't do two of six activities of daily living or cognitive impairment such as Alzheimer's.
Yeah. Give me are they the same six measurements on a repeated basis that you got to be able to—
So I like to think of it as daily life. You got to be able to get up out of bed, get yourself up and get moving. So transferring out of bed, out of a chair, that's the first activity of daily living. But think in the morning, the first thing you probably did was get out of bed and you probably went and took a shower. So bathing is the second activity of daily living. After you take a shower, you get dressed. I hope you do at least. And you're walking down the stairs. So the third activity of daily living is getting yourself dressed. The fourth activity of daily living is you're now downstairs or in the kitchen and you're fixing yourself breakfast and you're feeding yourself. So the fourth one is being able to feed yourself. So those are the four foundational activities. And then the other two that come on the back end of that are being able to go to the restroom. That's a big activity of daily living multiple times a day. And then a lot of people don't think about this one, but the continence, being able to hold what you've had for breakfast,
right.
In a setting such as this, in a room or in a conference. And you see commercials about that continence issues. And So those are your six activities of daily living. So getting up out of bed or out of a chair, being able to bathe yourself, being able to dress yourself, being able to feed yourself, being able to go to the restroom, and then continence, being able to hold what's inside of your body.
So as there are people listening out there who are certainly in my own chapter of having to, let me be clear, and I know my parents will hear this show, I'm not having to provide this care to them right now, but you can see the decline, it's inevitable, and I know people who are having to provide this care to them. It's too late for the people at that age to get long-term care insurance. This is something that I, in my 50s, need to be thinking about today as I look at my parents and say, that is my gene pool. This is likely going to be my future.
Typically, 10, 15, 20 years ago, we were having this conversation with people at retirement. So think 65, 67, 70 years old. We are starting to have conversations about mitigating the risk of long-term care and the bucket of money we need to have around to help offset these costs. We're starting to have them with people in their mid-40s and early 50s.
Let's come back after break and talk about what the cost of this insurance may be, as well as what the cost that people are who perhaps have lost one or two of those six items that you just listed, what their cost of living is as a result of that. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Kim Marston in the studio today with Jay Stubbs. The conversation, aging parents, busy children, and where long-term care insurance fits into this. We'll be right back.
Paul Lewis, General Manager of Roy Lewis Construction. Many of our commercial buildings you drive by daily on both sides of the bay are the fruits of our client relationships since our beginning in the early 80s. It is our mission to bring value to our clients, from retrofits to ground-up construction and everything in between. We have more advocates than any of our competitors who have been in business twice as long. Same with repeat business, same with referrals. Find us online at roylewisconstruction.com and let's talk about your next commercial project.
Hi, I'm David Nelson, brewmaster and owner of Braided River Brewing in downtown Mobile. We make drinkable, flavorful craft beer perfect for life on the Gulf Coast. So pick up one of our six packs before your next adventure or stop by our tap room for a relaxing afternoon with friends. Follow us on social media for the latest beer releases and events and ask for a Braided River at your favorite bars and restaurants. Thanks for your support. We look forward to sharing our beers with you.
This is Cam Marston, and I'm with Cajun Mike of E3 Termite and Pest Control. Cajun Mike, if a homeowner thinks they have termites, do you offer inspections? What about someone buying a new home? Can you come in and take a look and see if there are termites in their new home?
Yeah, basically what we would do on a home above and beyond anyone else is we actually do a thorough inspection. But above that, we will use infrared imaging that will allow us to see problems in the wall. And at times can tell us if there's anything going on.
That's fantastic, Cajun Mike. How can people find you?
They can find me at e3pest.com.
That's the letter E, the number 3, pest.com.
King Solomon wrote, "Without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed." The law firm of Cromwell & Associates has the legal counsel that can help your business succeed with experience in LLCs, corporations, and tax. I'm Eric Cromwell. Our law firm has locations in Mobile and Fairhope. Call 251-605-9075 or search for Cromwell & Associates on Facebook. And let's discuss how we can help you.
Jay Stubbs is with First Protective. He's here to talk to me today about aging parents, middle-aged children with children of their own and being stuck between them, and the thoughts around long-term care insurance. We know people are living longer. We know people are having children at older ages, as is my case. And we're in the sandwich generation, and it's a thought of mine of what do I need to do to prepare to get old? And let's hope nobody wants to get old, but everybody wants to live a long time. That's a great quote from somebody, Swift, I think it is. Jay, before the break, we were talking about the costs. Give me a sense of the variety of costs. What does it cost me to invest in something like this? And what are the what happens if I don't do it?
Before I dive into costs, I need to explain that there are four ways somebody can protect against this, and that'll help us get to the cost. The four ways you can protect protect against long-term care expenses during retirement years are self-insurance. So somebody can actually have a bucket of money in a portfolio or an account somewhere, and they've earmarked that as their money they're going to use. But if they understand leverage, and if they don't have that bucket of money sitting around, then the next thing they need to consider is traditional long-term care insurance coverage. So there's a traditional policy out there called LTC, and you buy it just as you would a homeowner's policy or an automobile policy. You don't get a benefit from that policy until you file a claim. There is nothing there more than a risk that you're protecting. That risk is I can't do two of six activities of daily living, or I'm cognitively impaired. My doctor has said so. I need now have care at home, or I need to go to a facility or even a nursing home. Mm-hmm. I have a policy that's going to I now file a claim and they send me some money. That money amount is determined on how much you spend on it when you bought it back when you were healthy. So that's traditional long-term care. Then there's another product called asset-based long-term care, which is I have a little bit of money sitting aside, but it's not a ton, and I'm healthy now. Can I leverage that or turn it into 3 to 5 times the amount of money at some point down the road as a larger bucket or pool of funds to use for that care at home or in a facility? And I can single premium pay that. I can just move it from one pocket to the next, or I can continuous pay that over a specified period of years or a lifetime pay. So that's known as an asset-based product, and there are several companies out there that offer that solution. And then the third solution, or the fourth overall, the third product solution. So remember, we said self-insure, traditional, asset-based. And then a lot of companies, insurance companies, have life insurance, traditional life insurance, and you can add a rider that says, if I file a claim, use that rider, pull the trigger on that rider, I can now pull some of my death benefit out to use for a living expense of care at home or in a facility care. So we look at all ways to fund this with financial advisors, and we look at the client's overall financial health. You know, how much money do they have in a portfolio? How much qualified money? How much non-qualified money? What's their portfolio look like? Are they interested in self-insuring? Or are they also interested in leveraging dollars 3 to 5 times more than what they have today, or are they interested in a life insurance product with a rider? So really, we can't just say that this product fits you. We have to know more about the client, know more about the customer. Now, back to your question on price. It is less expensive the younger you are, and obviously, as you age, it becomes more expensive. So traditional long-term care, for a few $100 a month, you can buy a bucket of money of anywhere from $3,000 to $4,000 a month of benefit, and that benefit will last you anywhere from 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 years, depending on how old you are and how healthy you are.
Okay, so it's not going to last until you die. You got long-term care insurance, and if you pull the trigger on it, you're buying a window of time that you will receive funds from the insurance company.
In the traditional long-term care arena, yes, you are buying a limited bucket of money for a small amount of time, anywhere from 2 to 6 years.
Is that really all it is, 2 to 6 years?
Yes, because the insurance companies that offer these products have had, they really didn't price them right 30 and 40 years ago. They didn't think that people would be living as long as they are. They didn't think that people would hold on to these policies. If you've got a long-term care policy, hold on to it. Those are products that you have companies that have exited the business. Very well-known brand name companies have exited the business because they said, we're getting hammered financially based on the claims experience that we're mm-hmm. having. But there are still a couple of good companies out there that offer traditional product. Now, that's in traditional 2 to 6. In asset-based, remember that other product solution I talked about, that can actually last a very long time depending on how much money you want to spend. People can build a bucket of money, remember leverage, 3 to 5 times. If I send the company $100,000 this year, I have a bucket day two of $300,000, $400,000, $500,000. So if we start talking about having $100,000 earmarked and it costs me $3,000 a month to have a home health care aide come by the house, that's $36,000 a year. I have $100,000 bucket of money. That's roughly a 3-year window of time. if I leverage that up into a product, I can buy myself another 3, 6, or even 9 years on the back end of that.
What is your experience of people outliving their long-term care insurance benefits?
I personally don't have any experience of people outliving their coverage. There are stories that you hear about, well, I've exhausted all of my benefit. They were just thankful that they had something. And I think people may be a little upset that they maybe didn't buy enough. They didn't make the right financial decisions with their financial advisors back when they purchased it originally. They didn't think it was going to be that big of a deal. And now more and more people are realizing, I want to make sure the bucket of money is big, and I want to make sure I can make that last as long as possible. Because remember, all the long-term care expense is an erosion of the wealth you've created and ultimately the wealth you want to transfer to your next generations.
Interesting. Tell me about somebody. There's a lot of facts. There's a lot of figures. There's a lot of data and numbers and dollars. What gets people's heartstrings are the stories. Give me some stories.
Well, usually it's the late 40s, early 50s man or woman or couple, and they've come in and they're just like you. They've experienced something with their parents, and they say, we're now paying out of pocket to help care for an aging parent at home. And we don't want that to happen to us. We don't want to be a burden to our own children when we reach that age. We're in a financial situation now where we can afford it, whether it's traditional or an asset based, and they make the decision. So, you know, everybody listening to this knows someone who is in a long-term care or an assisted living facility. They visited them, their family members, their neighbors. And these facilities are unbelievably wonderful, except last, you know, during COVID, they kind of got a bad rap. I don't want to dive into the weeds on that, but now people are realizing maybe an assisted living facility is not where I want to be. So a lot of people are thinking, I want the care at home. I want to be in the comfort of my own home. It's paid for. I can have somebody come in and take care of me. I can make a few adjustments around the house. So we hear stories of people who really just want to make sure it doesn't happen to them because they've had to experience it with their parents. Then you hear situations of, well, you know, daddy died a long time ago, but mama's still living and mama's got Alzheimer's. And that's been going on for 10 years. And we are having to make Medicaid arrangements for her because her wealth is gone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you hate to hear the financial stories like that, but taking care of somebody for an extended period of time erodes the money that they've got in their accounts. And quite frankly, it just scares people to death on having to send mom or dad to a Medicaid state-run facility, not being able to see them on a routine basis, and especially in a pandemic, not being able to see them at all.
Back in the day when I was doing one of the conversations in financial services continued to do a lot of work in that world, but there was the belief by the kids of the marketplace at that time that they would be inheriting wealth from their parents, that they would their parents. This is largely baby boomers were the parents and the millennials were the kids. And the kids said, well, I'm going to inherit some money from my parents. And the advisors out there were saying, you know, I wouldn't bank on that. The science and the technology and the medicine is likely going to keep your parents alive in some state or another. And all that wealth that you're looking at, whether it be the value of the home or any sort of 401k, whatever it may be, is likely going to be spent by your parents to stay alive. Comments on that?
Agree 100%. I follow a lot of studies. One of them is called the Genworth Cost of Care. Genworth used to be in the long-term care business. They are not now. They don't offer any new product, but they have a lot of policies on the books. So they put out a study called the Cost of Care. Anyone listening can Google this, Cost of Care, and they can see in their city or major metropolitan area what the average cost is to either have a home care person, homemaker come by and help with things at the house. They can also see assisted living monthly cost, and then nursing home monthly cost. Here in Mobile, Alabama, in 2020, to have someone come to your home was anywhere from $3,400 to $3,800 a month. Mm-hmm. And this is a skilled nursing care at home. Assisted living, so going down the street to one of our, you know, very fine facilities, was less expensive, but not by much, about $3,300 for a private one-bedroom assisted living facility. And then nursing home, you can always say that it's roughly double the cost of a assisted living. So about $6,900, let's call it $7,000 last year in a private one-bedroom nursing home. What's unique about this cost of care is, Cam, you're 52, if memory serves. So in 30 years, you'll be 82, right? So that's going to be 2051. This app, the cost of care, allows for us to see what 3% of inflation does to those costs. So that $3,300, $3,400 home health care aid is now $8,000 a month.
Oh, my Lord.
That private assisted living facility is now $8,000 a month. And that private room nursing home is now roughly $17,000
a month. $17,000 a month. Unbelievable.
So you start gathering your assets with your financial advisor and sitting down and saying, here's what we have. Do we have enough to pay for this? And we need this for at least 3 to 4 years, because the average length of stay in a nursing home is 3 to 4 years. Do we have enough money to self-insure this, or should we consider mitigating that risk with a product solution?
Let's take a break. Let's get advertisers some space in here. And when I come back, Jay, I want to talk about what you think about this, not what the data shows, but what you as a guy in the industry think and feel about this. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston in the studio today with Jay Stubbs. We'll be right back.
At Roy Lewis Construction, we're in the business of adding value. Whether it's working with you to meet your unique business needs or making investments in our community in lasting ways, providing unparalleled value and quality in every commercial construction project. When planning your next commercial project, reach out to Roy Lewis Construction. We'll pair you with the designer that best suits your project needs and work with that designer to balance the best architectural outcome with the best budget outcome. Find us online at roylewisconstruction.com. Building legacies, one relationship at a time.
At Spring Hill Toyota, it's just that easy. From our three-day exchange to free car washes, the benefits of the Spring Hill Advantage make the choice easy to see. We make it easy to own. Every vehicle comes with Toyota Care, plus our no-cost maintenance plan with free tire rotations and oil changes for 4 years. Get peace of mind with free roadside assistance 24/7. And don't forget, it's easy to buy your car 100% online. Visit springhilltoyota.com today. It's just that easy.
Think about how people really see you. The kid at the drive-thru just sees a coffee drinker.
Please pull forward.
Your local barista sees the person who loves a smiley face in their latte.
See you next time.
It's kind of the same way with insurance. Other insurance companies just see a customer, but a State Farm agent sees more. They see you as a neighbor. Your State Farm agent is here to get to know who you really are so they can help life go right.
Call me, State Farm agent Allison Horner in Mobile at 666-1616.
I'm David Nelson, brewmaster and owner of Braided River Brewing. We want beer that goes along no matter where the adventure takes us and that doesn't make us choose between great beer and drinkability. We're drawn to the Delta and united by beer because to us, the best way to celebrate the Delta is to slow down and savor the moments and the beer together. Come visit our tap room in downtown Mobile and ask for us at your favorite bar or restaurant. Visit online at braidedriverbrewing.com.
In the studio today with Jay Stubbs, you're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. Our conversation, long-term care insurance, and beyond that, the boding reality that many of us will be caring for people in our family in ways that we hadn't anticipated, and frankly, in ways that they had not anticipated either, causing some very tough questions and very tough weeks and chapters and years and months in our lives as we figure this type of thing out. Jay, prior to the break, I asked the question, what do you think about this? I want to know what your gut says about this.
I'm very passionate about it as far as any risk mitigating. Obviously, life insurance is important to me. Disability income protection is important to me. But long-term care is very important to me. Both my parents are deceased. My dad died at an early age in a car accident, so life insurance was in play. That's why I'm passionate about that. I know a lot of friends who have had experienced they cannot work anymore, so disability income insurance is important. My mom did not have a long-term care policy when she was diagnosed with cancer, but she had a couple of different types of risk mitigating policies that assisted her in paying for those treatments and some of the bills. So I'm passionate about any kind of health insurance product, specifically long-term care, that's going to help a family financially make sure that they don't become destitute or have to sell the house that they want to transfer to the next generation or sell the piece of property or even that long-time stock portfolio that they've watched and cared for many years. So not having to make tough financial decisions is really important to me. I know several people who have had the experience we've talked about earlier in the show, where it's come to light that this is a risk I want to take care of and I want to do it now while I'm healthy. Just yesterday, I worked on a 54-year-old physician. Obviously, he sees a lot of people living longer. He had a couple of different life insurance policies, and they had some cash value in them. And he realized he could move from one type of cash value life insurance into another one and add, if he qualified medically, add a new chronic illness or long-term care rider. Simply reallocating the monies and keeping the same amount of benefit, keeping this premium the same, but he was able to add $7,500 a month of benefit in a $1 million life insurance policy. Now, of course, if he dies, he gets his heirs, his beneficiaries get $1 million income tax free. If he doesn't die, experiences an issue where he needs home health care or a care in a facility, he can send in a claim form and execute that rider and get up to $7,500 cash a month from his death benefit. So think fast forward. If he uses that for 10 months and passes away, so he's used $75,000, his beneficiaries get the residual of what's left over. So
$1 million minus $75,000.
Exactly. Yeah. That's called life insurance with a rider. That's a very popular topic for the people who are in their late 40s, early 50s, even into their early 60s, because they're simply keeping the same type of coverage they've had. They're just repositioning and kind of getting into a new version of the product and adding the rider. Very, very attractive to folks. Clearly very attractive, somebody like me, 44 years old, somebody like you, 52 years old, because you still have a need for a death benefit. And that death benefit is there in the event of a premature death. But you also now say, I could also use a living benefit. And we hear stories after story, people saying, I need both. I need both. I want both because I want to protect my family and I want to protect my assets because I don't want to have to start spending those down. I like to say it's building a fence around your portfolio.
Do you think there's a conflict between this is a cruel question, between the life insurance companies and the medical community to say, hey, when I was a kid, I used to hear stories of people dying of old age. How did so-and-so die? Well, they just died of old age. Today, we really get down in the weeds and know exactly what made people die. And it seems like in the past, people would die of old age because the doctor would say, you know what? The quality of life here is going to be an issue if we keep you around. We're just going to let this take its form. But the technology today and the ethics the way they are today is that we need to keep people alive in any certain form that we possibly can because that's the right thing to do. However, in so doing, it's draining people of the vitality of their life as well as the vitality of their assets and could be, and here we go with the cruelty again, creating some resistance or some resentment with the children. What do you think?
That's a tough question. I think it's personal preference. Either, you know, daddy or mama can tell you I'm ready to go or they're not ready to go.
When they do, you're going to have a hard time finding a doctor's willing to step up to that patient saying, you're ready to go? All right, we'll take care of it.
There was one back in the news. Who was it? Kevorkian?
No, that's right.
He would take care of it for you. So as long the medical community has done a fantastic job. So kudos to all of the doctors out there that have helped us live longer and to see our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren and live life to the fullest and have a joyful retirement. They're keeping us alive when a serious issue occurs. And to me, my feeling is I want to keep on living. You know, I had two parents taken away from me at a very early age. I don't want to be a vegetable, and I don't think anybody would. And so they make healthcare directives for that express purpose. But if there's an asset there or a risk mitigating product there that's going to help me keep my wits about me and not be a financial burden on my children or grandchildren, I want to stick around. And if the medical community can stick something in my arm that's going to keep me going for another year, let's keep it going.
My grandmother passed away. I think she was 98. She woke up every day complaining that she had no friends left, that she had she was able, she was mentally adroit, but she had no friends left and nothing to do.
She didn't have Facebook, though, did she?
Yeah. She's like the Mickey Mantle quote. If I had known I would live this long, I would have taken care of myself back in the day. What do you think's going to happen? Looking into the crystal ball, the medicine, the science is going to continue. People are going to continue to live longer. The cost of care is going to continue to increase. Where's all this leading?
Well, the insurance companies on the life insurance side have already started pricing products on the mortality rates we discussed earlier in the show go out to age 125.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. So you can buy a guaranteed life insurance policy out to age 125 if you'd like one.
Is that good or bad?
It's fine. It's a premium that you're choosing to pay. Most people design a plan that's going to last to age 100. 105. We hear your grandmother, both my grandmothers made it to late 90s. Even my grandfather, who passed away in I think 1987, he was himself 87 years old. Mm-hmm. And people are just living longer. But looking at what the insurance companies are telling us, if you can buy something that lasts to your age 125, they think we're going to live longer.
Yeah. You would think they're in the know. They're doing the research. What are they called? Actuaries.
Actuaries. Very important to all of the insurance companies, and they help price the products for the life, the disability income protection, and then, of course, this topic of long-term care. They help price that out as well.
Somebody is out there listening going, man, this is striking close to home. Is there a series of questions, Jay, that you ask people to consider as they're thinking about this for themselves or their parents?
Do you have a plan in place to protect your assets and your family dynamic should you not be able to take care of yourself at home?
That's it.
Do you have a plan in place? If the answer to that question is a simple no, I don't. My next question is, Cam, does that concern you? And it either concerns you or it doesn't.
Well, how many people assume their children are going to be there to take care of them?
A lot.
And how often does that happen?
Well, it depends on where the children live and if they're willing to uproot their children. Some parents would say, you're moving home to take care of me. And it happens in next month because the doctor has told me that I've been diagnosed with this and you need to come on home. I was in a coffee shop this morning, grabbing a cup of coffee. And one of my good friends says that his wife has moved in with a neighbor to help take care of that neighbor's family. The mother has Alzheimer's. So this man and his son have really not seen their mom and his wife because she's around the corner caring for an aging relative who's got Alzheimer's at home. That to me is just, and you're now saying, I've got either somebody else coming in to take care of me, or I've got to get a family member or a close good family relative. And if a couple think that their kids are going to take care of them, they better ask that question seriously. Are they going to uproot their lives? Are they going to quit their job? Are they going to stop doing the things with their children that take a lot of time, as you and I both know, in order to take care of us? And if the answer to that question is no, then there better be a plan in place to help find the bodies to do that, find the people, and find the resources financially.
The resources. I think most parents think that their children will be there to care for them. And I think that their parents, and my children aren't old enough to have this conversation with them yet, but most parents think that kids, as an act of gratitude, will wipe my bottom because I wiped theirs, essentially. However, my suspicion is most of the kids out there are saying, hey, I got a life to live too. My children are teenagers. I can't be wiping your bottom, mom and dad, because like I've said so many times, we had children later, which is the trend these days. And I've got, I can't wipe your bottom because I got a soccer game to go to.
Well, you and I are in a pretty safe boat because we've got four kids. So the odds of having at least one of them take care of us is pretty good. But think about some of those people who have children that live across the country.
Yeah.
Or who are just starting their lives, as we just mentioned, they're starting their lives with family later in life. And they've got newborns or toddlers at home. And they also have a 70-year-old parent. How does that happen? How does that work? And so that's where we ask the simple question, do you have a plan in place to protect against not only your assets, but also your family dynamic? And if you don't have a plan and it concerns you, then let's have a further discussion around that.
Like I said when we started, I bet I have 10 friends right now dealing with aging parents and the ethical decision, the consequences that come with that. And suddenly, I used to hear about people going through this. Now it's on the doorstep of me as well. And let me be clear, because my parents will hear this. They're not in this situation yet, but there's no denying that aging is happening. It's suddenly become a reality. It's now on the doorstep of me as well as many others. And I can't help but think about my own parents and the what this may put on my own kids someday as I'm in that situation. Jace, thank you very much. Where can people find you?
If you simply do a Google search of jstubbs.com, I've got a personal site out there that's got email addresses and phone numbers and such. Concourse Financial is a firm based in Birmingham, and I'm the director of the Gulf Coast here in Mobile. So they can just simply do a Google search for either Jace Stubbs or Concourse Financial. And I encourage anyone thinking about this to talk with their own financial advisors. But if they want any unbiased opinion or consult, they can always reach out to me.
We'll be back after this with final comments. You're listening to What's Working. Hi, I'm Cam Marston, host of What's Working. My Carrier Infinity system is quiet, energy efficient, and runs like a dream. To keep it running smoothly, I rely on a maintenance plan from Keith Air Conditioning. With a Keith maintenance plan, your home or business receives discounts and 24/7 priority service. Give Keith Air Conditioning a call today at 251-476-3610 or visit keithair.com. Keith and Carrier, turn to the experts.
What's Working with Cam Marston is brought to you by Stella Artois Beer. Stella Artois is a perfect beer for celebration. Nothing caps off a big sale, hitting your incentive goals, or a profitable quarter like a round of Stella's. Brewed first in 1708 as a special Christmas brew, today's Stella is a gift for everyone to enjoy year-round. Stella Artois. Find it wherever fine beer is sold.
This is Cam Marston with Cajun Mike of E3 Termite and Pest Control. Cajun Mike, houses on pilings can have termites eat their way up inside the piling and enter the house. The homeowner never knows about it, but your company offers protection. Tell me about that.
Yeah, Cam. Basically, what we have designed is a program, and what we do is we will actually drill to the center of the piling and put a product in the center that will stop the termites from coming up into the home.
Stucco exteriors as well?
Correct.
How can people find you, Cajun Mike?
They can find me at e3pest.com.
That's the letter E, the number 3, pest.com.
When you make the right decision, it feels good, like picking the perfect accent rug or choosing a good night's sleep over an all-night crime show binge. It feels really good to make the right insurance decision, too. I'm State Farm agent Allison Horner, and that's why I'm right here in Mobile to help you select the right protection at the right price. I'll make sure you understand your State Farm coverages so you'll know what to expect if the unexpected happens. With me as your State Farm agent, it's easy to make the right choice. You can come by, call, or click AllisonHorner.com. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We're going to finish this week's show with a commentary by my buddy David Webb. He posted something on Facebook not long ago that caught fire in the city of New Orleans, perhaps rightfully so. I am quite fond of the city of New Orleans. I haven't been there in a long time, but from what David saw and wrote, it caught fire. He's been on the television news. He's been interviewed by a couple of radio stations due to what he wrote. And he's going to tell us about it right now. David Webb.
So this is a recent letter that I penned to the mayor of New Orleans during a recent visit there. It's gone viral. It doesn't concern Mobile, but it sure could if we ever give up like NOLA has. Here's an abbreviated version. Dear Mayor Cantrell, your city has lost its way. I'm just like any other visitor to NOLA. I came from Alabama this weekend with my oldest son for a 3-day baseball tournament. It's been a decade since we were last there, so we were both looking forward to being back again. While visiting, it was our intent to carve out time to see the traditional popular historic downtown hotspots that most flock to, you know, like Canal Street, Bourbon Street, the French Market, the Riverboat, Riverwalk, Cafe Du Monde, the Aquarium, and Jackson Square. We hit all of them, and it was an eye-opening, disappointing experience. I've put my observations together in this letter so you could grasp what a visitor sees today in the places I just mentioned. First, the blight you have in the downtown area is unfathomable. Vacant and seemingly abandoned buildings are just first things that you see when you drive into and out of NOLA. Most have no windows, no protective plyboard, are graffitied, and look hours away from being demolished. I'm sure you'd say most have suffered from Katrina's aftermath, a storm from over 16 years ago. Second, the stench is horrific. And I'm not just talking about the usual garbage and sewage smells we all know are part of the historic sections of town. It's weed, pot, marijuana, dope, however you want to call it. And it's absolutely disgusting. Visitors and locals are smoking that trash in plain view, out in the open, on the streets, in front of kids, families, and your police, who are apparently have been told not to do anything about it. And it's rampant. Whether it's for political reasons or a thinly stretched, understaffed police force or sheer ambivalence on your part, it is destroying New Orleans, in my opinion. Allowing people to blatantly smoke pot on your streets is a nasty, vile travesty. It's also going to cost your city dollars in the long run. Third, your homeless are in need of attention. We walked miles through NOLA historic streets this weekend. While doing so, it is apparent that they are numerous and visible. They darken the doorways of closed-up shops everywhere. They sleep on dirty streets, walkways, and sidewalks and relieve themselves anywhere they choose, except bathrooms, apparently. These poor folks need a helping hand. As it stands now, it looks like they are being avoided like they don't even exist. Lastly, I want to strongly encourage you to act. I spent a lot of money while visiting. We helped your economy. Tourism is NOLA's bread and butter. If you don't change things now and you let this mess continue, visitors will stop coming, promise. Have some pride. Be a leader and address this now before it's too late. Regards, David C. Webb, a paying visitor.
Special thanks to David Webb. David, I appreciate your willingness to do this, to give us your voice and your thoughts. The commentary caught fire in New Orleans, like I said, and has brought him a lot of media attention from the media outlets in and around New Orleans TV, a couple radio shows, because he put voice to something I think many New Orleanians are feeling or seeing, and that is the very visible decay in both the infrastructures, as well as the care and concern of the attractions. New Orleans is so steeped in history. It's one of my favorite places in the world. I love it. I went to Tulane. I love my trips back to New Orleans because it's just different there. And you hate to see it begin to go away in such a way that almost makes you afraid or nervous or ashamed to show it to your children. And that's too bad. Again, David's voice, David's commentary caught fire. And you can see why. Appreciate it, David. That'll wrap us up for this week, everybody. Find the show, whatsworkingcam.com. That's the online address. Put that into your browser, whatsworkingcam.com. You'll see this show and all the ones that we've done, bearing down on 200, which is very exciting. And you can find us on social media. You can enter my name, Cam Marston, into any of your favorite social medias, and you'll find me there. And I hope you'll follow me where we give show updates and offer insights into our guests and things of that nature. Again, Cam Marston, you'll find us on Instagram and on Facebook, and you know the drill, all those different places out there. The show is produced by John Thompson with Ion Digital. We'll have another show next week. Have a good week, everybody.